From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Trophies of Grace and Testimonies to the Success of the Gospel. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul said he was writing, To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As history has testified, ancient Rome was a city given over to pleasure, vice, and tyranny. And yet, even prior to Paul's visit, there was a thriving church there. The Roman Christians proved their love for Christ in the fires of martyrdom during the persecutions instigated by Nero, when thousands of them were put to death. As Dr. Cairns has been demonstrating, the gospel is a glorious, powerful message, which succeeds in rescuing sinners from the deepest and darkest conditions. Then, Paul's words show that the gospel expresses the sovereign goodness of God in His immeasurable love for sinners. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Safest Place. The text is John chapter 10, verse 28, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We believe in the eternal security of the saints. First, because they are Christ's, and He will never lose the sheep which He has bought with His blood and received of His Father. Next, because He gives them eternal life. And if it be eternal, well then, it is eternal, and there can be no end to hell and heaven and God. If spiritual life can die out, it is manifestly not eternal life, but temporary life. But the Lord speaks of eternal life, and that effectually shuts out the possibility of an end. Observe further that the Lord expressly says, They shall never perish. As long as words have a meaning, this secures believers from perishing. The most obstinate unbelief cannot force this meaning out of this sentence. Then, to make the matter complete, He declares that His people are in His hand, and He defies all their enemies to pluck them out of it. Surely it is a thing impossible, even for the fiend of hell. We must be safe in the grasp of an almighty Savior. Be it ours to dismiss carnal fear as well as carnal confidence, and rest peacefully in the hollow of the Redeemer's hand.
Thank you.
have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it, several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
I come from Ireland, the land of saints and scholars. You look at Ireland today, there are very few scholars and there are even less saints by the look of it. How did Ireland ever come to be known as the land of saints and scholars? It was the most barbarous, backward, baneful place on the face of God's earth. There was no place more inhospitable. I have recounted on more than one occasion the true history of the man called St. Patrick, who really was a Free Presbyterian, by the way. I say that tongue in cheek, but it's mostly true. St. Patrick was never a papalist. St. Patrick was never an Episcopalian. St. Patrick was a humble saint whom God saved and called to missionary work. And he formed hundreds of churches all over Ireland. And if you read what he says about them, they were set up on a very good basic Presbyterian ground. But that's just beside the point. He went to a country cursed with tribalism, bloodshed, hatreds that ran deep. And in his own lifetime, saw, if my memory's right, some 600 to 700 churches established across the whole of Ireland. In later years, some of those churches sent missionaries to the island of Iona. They went right through Scotland and England and on to the continent. And they brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to places that were wrapped up in superstition and to people who would appear to be beyond the pale. But the gospel always succeeds. It's true today. This is the message for the world. This church here in Greenville needs to take very seriously what God says. Go and preach the gospel. We must not be intimidated by the new paganism that has overrun America today. We must not be intimidated by the official religion of man that has taken over this North American continent and the whole of Western Europe with it. We must recognize that all we have is a new situation with a new mission field, with a new challenge, but that the gospel of Jesus Christ is more than equal to the challenge. It succeeds, whatever the paganism and the depravity of the people to whom it comes. The church in Rome, the people there, proved by their testimony, secondly, that the gospel succeeds because it expresses the sovereign goodness of God. He says to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now notice the order, for the order is very important. They were saints because they were called. I think that's obvious. They were called because they were beloved of God. Wycliffe, in his translation, which long predates the Authorized Version, and would be very, very difficult for us today, quaint in many places, but Wycliffe translates this in a beautiful way. Instead of beloved of God, he simply translates it, God's darlings. Sounds quaint to us, but it gets right to the heart. To all that be in Rome, God's darlings. The old preacher certainly got his hand on the truth there. What Paul is talking about here is the sovereign, electing, discriminating love of God. Robert Haldane, in his great commentary in this epistle, a commentary, by the way, that grew out of his lectures in the city of Geneva to some theological students whom he found sunk in modernism, liberalism, unbelief, all the German rationalistic higher criticism poisoning their thinking. He set them down and he taught them the book of Romans. And as he expounded the book of Romans, there was a revival broke out among those theological students and produced some of the greatest preachers and scholars of the Reformed Church in Europe. Every time you read Merle d'Aubigné's History of the Reformation, you should think of that revival. For Merle was saved through Haldane in that revival, and other great French-speaking preachers. But Haldane, commenting on this, beloved of God, says, it is the greatest love God can show to man, being everlasting love, which originates with himself. It is purely gratuitous. That is, it is free. And it does not spring from any foresight of anything worthy in those that are its objects. This is a love that is rooted in the goodness of God's heart. This is a love that has its wellspring in the eternal purpose of God. Why would God love you and me? I don't know. I've often told you how that when people came to Pastor Willie Mullen, the great Baptist preacher in Northern Ireland, saying, "Mr. Mullen, I'm worried about the text Esau, or Jacob, have I loved, Esau, have I hated?" He would always say, "I'm worried about it too. I can't understand it." One young fellow heaved a sigh of relief when Mr. Mullen said that and said, "Well, if you can't understand it, I suppose there's an excuse for me. I can't think of how God could hate Esau." And Willie said to him, "Young man, that's not the part that bothers me at all. I can understand that quite simply. I can understand why a holy God would hate a reprobate like Esau. What I can't understand is how a holy God would love an equally vicious man like Jacob. I can understand if God hated me. But oh, that God would ever love me. I don't begin to explain that." Willie Mullen had it right. He had it absolutely right. This is the sovereign purpose of a holy God. And that's the purpose that undergirds the success of the gospel. Why does the gospel succeed? Because right across this world, God has a people whom He has loved from all eternity. And He's going to bring them in. Why is this gospel going to succeed? Because no matter who stands for it, or no matter who stands against it, there is the sovereign good pleasure of God that through the preaching of the gospel, He will save them that believe. He will bring in His beloved out of every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, every nation of people under the stars. God has a purpose of grace. And no matter how many demons oppose that purpose, it will stand. No matter how many Caesars rise up against it, it will succeed. No matter how many legions rise up to pull it backwards, it will go forward to eternal success. In a world that's cursed with superstition and heathenism, this message of the sovereign love of God is indeed a glorious message and a powerful message. Remember writing to the Ephesian Christians, and I've already described from Acts chapter 19 the background out of which many of them came. They came out of curious arts, that's sorcery, witchcraft, paganism, superstition. That was their background. Now, with that in mind, you can understand Paul's words to them in Ephesians chapter 2. "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," you see how He balances it all? There you were, dead, depraved, dominated by the devil. There you were on the edge of hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." What a testimony. Going to the heathen with the message of the love of God. You realize there was never a religion in the history of the world that went to the heathen with the message of the free, sovereign love of God was never known. In fact, one of the great obstacles to the gospel, once it got out there into the heathen cultures and heathen languages, and this is something that missionaries have to grapple with to this very day, one of the obstacles to the gospel is that in many deeply pagan societies, there is in their language no word for love. That's how dark and deep the wickedness of sin. This is something so foreign. This is something so alien to all that paganism ever knew. Theirs was a religion of fear, a religion of indulgence, yes, a religion of gods that wanted to whip them on the one hand and then allow them to indulge their wickedness on the other hand. But it was a religion of fear, always. That's true of every false religion, ultimately. But they came with the doctrine, the news, the glorious, powerful message of the love of God. Can I say to you tonight, there's still nothing in all the world that can unlock the hearts of men like the message of the love of God. My mind goes back often to a scene in the life of R.A. Torrey when he was asked to go to a large women's penitentiary and speak to the women. It's bad to see what sin has done in men, but when you see a great group of women, We tend to expect, at least when I was growing up, you always tended to expect the women to be the more refined, the more decent, even though sinners, yet you never expected them to be as vile as their male counterparts. But to go to a great penitentiary and see them just as vile, just as wicked, just as depraved, just as overcome by sin, was something that would shake not only Torrey but any preacher. He preached to those women and saw some of them saved. Then he went around the cells of those who hadn't been to hear him preach. Came to one cell. The governor tried to take him past it. Said, "Dr. Torrey, you're wasting your time there. The most vicious woman in the prison. Vile and unclean." And he said, "Let me talk to her. Let me in." And as he went into the cell, she just turned her back and she stuck her nose in the corner. In her hatred, she wouldn't even look at him. Torrey went to the corner where she stood, gently put his arm around her shoulder. He said, "Mother, I have just come today to tell you that Jesus loves you." He said that old haggard, sin-lined face turned around with tears streaming down. That day he preached the gospel to the vilest woman in the jail. The message of the love of God unlocked her heart. I want to tell you, this is the word of the truth of the gospel. God is love.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.